In our last message, we considered together the different men that made up Paul's missionary band. We noticed how that this group of men were made up of all different types of men with different attributes and different personalities and abilities. And through these men, we got a glimpse into Paul's missionary band, the type of men that Paul surrounded himself with, and the type of men that God was using to build up his church. But here in verse number 17, we're introduced to another man who is called by the name of Archippus. Now, Archippus could also be considered as part of Paul's missionary band, but he's singled out here by the Apostle Paul, and he's added in just a moment later for the reason and for the purpose that Paul wanted to address him specifically as an individual. Archippus is mentioned in one other place in Scripture, in the book of Philemon and the chapter number 2. In the verse number 2, it says, "Unto our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house." Now, it is possible that Archippus was the son of Philemon and Apphia. Philemon and Apphia, they had the church in their house in Colossae, and some commentators would believe that Archippus was actually their son. Notice how Paul commends Archippus here. He says, "Archippus is our fellow soldier." And this indicates that Archippus was a young man who had already proven himself, who had already demonstrated that he was a fruitful worker in the kingdom of the Lord. Now, some writers believe that Archippus was actually the minister in a place called Laodicea. Laodicea was a large city around 12 miles from Colossae. But why would Paul address Archippus through the letter to the Colossians, when Archippus was perhaps the minister of another city, another place? Well, we find that answer in verse number 16. And when this epistle, that's the epistle to the Colossians, "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." Now, what was the epistle to the church, or from the church of Laodicea? Well, that again was another letter that Paul had written to that church, perhaps previous to writing this. But that letter was not inspired. That letter was not inspired of God, and therefore has not been preserved by the Holy Spirit, and it is not contained in the canon of Scripture. But this epistle that was inspired of God, that was written to the Colossian church, Paul wanted them to take this epistle and also read it in the church at Laodicea. And so whenever this epistle would be read in the church of Laodicea, Archippus would hear this command. He would have heard this exhortation to take heed to the ministry, and he would have heard and received the word of God as well. Now, just a quick point in this verse number 16, because it's through this verse that we have a slight glimpse, a small opening into the way that the New Testament letters were transmitted. An inspired letter was written by the hand of an apostle or somebody in close relation to an apostle. That letter was then taken to the church. It was delivered to that church, and it was read publicly in the church. After it was read, it was taken, and it was copied by various Christians within the church that it was read. Then that same letter was taken, and it was passed on to another church, just like the same way the church, or the letter that went to Colossae, was also read to the church in Laodicea. And the process would be repeated. The church in Laodicea would hear the letter read, they would copy it down, and they would send it out to other churches within that region. This is how the New Testament was transmitted. This is how the New Testament was spread right across the region at that time. The New Testament was not copied out by a secret group. The entire New Testament was never under the control at any time of one man or of one group. It was a freely transmitted text. Anybody could come and hear the letter being read and write that letter down, or perhaps write a chapter down or a verse down, and then send that out. It was a freely transmitted text. And the reason why that's important is because it completely removes away the ludicrous idea or the ludicrous theory that anybody or any group could have got all these manuscripts together and changed them and added in such doctrines as the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. and so on. It would have been an impossible task. And so, with all the numerous copies that we have of the New Testament, over 5,500 of them, some fragments, some whole codices, other just simple chapters and so on, because of this freely transmitted text, no one could have ever have corrupted the entire Word of God. And we see that in verse 16. The way these epistles were to be sent around and read. And God had preserved this letter to the church at Colossae. But it's verse 17 that I want to focus on today. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And I want to consider with you today very simply the subject of Paul's command to Archippus. Paul's command to Archippus. And I want you to notice three things concerning this command. First of all, the exhortation. The exhortation. Then secondly, the ordination. And then thirdly, the instruction. So look with me here in verse 17, first of all, at the exhortation. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. Archippus was commanded here to take heed to the ministry. But notice, first of all, what is said here, and say to Archippus, and say to Archippus. Now, I believe Paul is talking there to the church at Laodicea. As it says in verse number 16, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and this epistle to Colossians was to be read also in the church of Laodicea, verse 16. I believe Paul is addressing there the Christians in the church of Laodicea. And he's telling them, say to Archippus. Yes, Archippus is going to hear this command when it's read audibly in the church, but I want you to say this to him. I want you to rally around him, and I want you to command him, Archippus, take heed to the ministry. I want you to notice three things about this exhortation. First of all, the task. The task. I want you to see here that phrase, take heed. The Greek word there, its very root is the Greek word blepo. It means to see or to look at something. And so the phrase here could really be read like this. See to it, Archippus, that you fulfill the ministry. Archippus, see to it that you are completing your ministry. Archippus was called here to look, to examine, to understand, to see if he was actually completing and fulfilling his ministry. This was the task that he had to undertake. It was a task of self-examination. A time of looking and seeing if what he was doing was truly pleasing to the Lord. But then also notice the timing of this exhortation. He says to Archippus, take heed to the ministry. Take heed, Archippus. And that phrase, to take heed, it's in what is called the present imperative. It's something that is a command, it's an imperative, and it has to be done immediately. Present tense. And so these Christians were to go to Archippus. And they were to say to Archippus, Archippus, right now, at this very moment, don't delay, don't put it off, do not wait any longer. Make sure you're fulfilling your ministry. Make sure you're examining yourself to see that you are completing the ministry that God has called you to do. Notice with me as well, thirdly, but consider the task, the timing, but the tone. And there is a bit of debate over the tone of this exhortation. Some would say that Paul here was giving Archippus an encouragement. And he was saying to Archippus, Archippus, examine your ministry. Make sure it's complete. Keep on going on. But the interpretation that I prefer is that this was actually a rebuke. And the reason why I say it was a rebuke is because he's not just speaking directly to Archippus here. He's speaking to the church at Laodicea. And he's saying to the church at Laodicea, you need to step up here. And you need to tell Archippus to take heed to his ministry. You need to tell Archippus that he needs to examine himself and make sure he's doing what he ought to be doing in the work of the Lord. I sense from that that Paul just doesn't deal with him directly, but he deals with this publicly, that this was a rebuke to Archippus because he wasn't fulfilling his ministry, because he wasn't having a full and complete ministry. There were things that he was not doing in his ministry that he ought to have been doing. And I believe that Paul was speaking this to Archippus because he had grown slack in certain duties of the ministry. And so Paul is saying to Archippus, listen, young man, examine yourself. Examine your ministry right now at this very moment. This is such a serious thing to be in the ministry. And it's such a serious thing not to fulfill your ministry that you need to do it right now. You do it now. And you need to make sure that you're fulfilling your ministry. What a rebuke from the Apostle Paul. What a solemn warning that would be to be read to the church. But notice the church weren't to kick him out. No. The church weren't to simply discard him. The church wasn't to run him out of town. The church was to say to him. The church was to exhort him. The church was to see this young man who perhaps was failing in his ministry. They were to see him corrected and brought back to a place where he was truly fulfilling his ministry. My friend, that's a lesson for us all. People can write off their ministers far too quickly. And they can say, well, he's not doing this, this, and this. But better with a new one. And they make it their duty and their mission to run them out of town. They make their life difficult. Yeah, my friend, we're not to do that. We're to encourage, we're to exhort, we're to help, we're to see to it that we will help our ministers fulfill their ministry and have a complete ministry in whatever way possible. I want you to notice with me, secondly, the ordination here. We've considered the exhortation, but now the ordination. In verse 17, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Archippus was a man who was recognized with being a minister. And this again suggests to us, because he was not the minister in Laodicea, or in Colossae, Epaphras was the man who was ministering there, and perhaps Tychius was now being sent to them as well. This suggests to us that he was the minister in Laodicea in that other city. But notice two things here about his ordination. First of all, the work that he was ordained to. Take heed to the ministry. Paul says to Archippus, you have been given a ministry. This is a work that you have been ordained to do. This is something that God himself has commissioned and commanded you to fulfill. Now, the idea of the ministry and the word here, there's a very simple picture behind it. And the picture behind this word minister, which means to serve or to be a servant, is that of a table waiter. Someone who would serve others. Not someone who would be served, but someone who would serve others. Not the person sitting at the table, but the person walking to the table to see what that individual needs. And such, very simply, is the work that Archippus was ordained to. He was ordained to preach the gospel. He was ordained to serve others in the church. He was not to be served, he was to serve. And we'll see in a moment the ways in which he was to serve the Christians in that church. But notice with me, perhaps even more importantly, the way he was ordained. The work he was ordained to, but the way he was ordained. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. Archippus' ministry was not something that he self-appointed himself to. Archippus' ministry was something that he was ordained of God to fulfill. It was God who made Archippus a minister. It was God who ordained him to be a servant. He didn't simply wake up one day and say, well, do you know what? I'm going to leave my job and I'm going to become a minister. He didn't wake up someday and say, well, do you know what? I want to do something different with my life. I'll become a minister. No. Archippus was ordained of God to be a minister. And that was always the pattern of the New Testament. Sadly, it's not really the pattern today in the church, broadly speaking. But in Acts chapter 13, we even see here concerning the Apostle Paul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. This was whenever the council had met together. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now notice the order there. The Holy Ghost came to the church. The church was fasting and the church was praying. And the Holy Ghost spoke to the church and said to the church, I want you to separate for me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them. And as a mark of recognition, as a sign that the church had received this revelation from the Lord, had been led of the Lord, they laid their hands upon Paul and Barnabas and sent them out for the work. Paul and Barnabas didn't say, well, do you know what, we're going to leave and do it ourselves. Paul and Barnabas didn't say, well, do you know what, we're going to make ourselves ministers. Let's set up our own organization. Let's set up our own work, and let's just go out by ourselves under no authority, under no oversight, and let's just do our own thing. That is not their attitude, and it is not the biblical attitude. The Holy Ghost speaks to the church, and with the authority that God has invested into the church, in the elders and the deacons in that church, they then have the responsibility to look and see who God has led them to send out, who is God leading to send out, and as a mark of that, they lay their hands upon them. Archippus was a man who was appointed to the ministry by God. And that's the only way to get into the ministry. You don't get into the ministry by simply going to Bible class or a Bible school. You don't get into the ministry by simply saying, well, you know what? I'm going to start up a little organization and I'm going to go out and preach. The way into the ministry is to be ordained of God with the recognition laid upon you by the church. That is how God ordains his ministers. And sadly today, and I have mentioned this so much even through this epistle, sadly today, with this idea of individualism and this complete disregard for any authority over an individual, people just think they can go out and do their own thing. People think that they can run out and just become little preachers and have their own organizations and receive money from different people, and people give money, maybe not knowing out of the goodness of their heart, and they take the Lord's money, and what do? They use it for their own little gain, and they use it for their own little ministry. They use it to give themselves a little platform in society where they can speak their opinions and what they believe. And they completely ignore the biblical pattern that God has laid out for those who would be preachers of the word. Notice with me thirdly and finally, I want you to see the instruction here. We've considered the exhortation, take heed. We've considered the ordination to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. But now the instruction, that thou fulfill it. That phrase, to fulfill the ministry, it means to complete the ministry. And what Paul, if I could rewrite this verse, it would say this. Paul was saying to Archippus this, I want you to look and examine your God-given ministry. And I want you to make sure that you are doing everything in that ministry that you are meant to be doing. And I want to make sure that you're doing it fully, completely, not half-heartedly, not sparingly. I want you to make sure that you're doing it completely. Now, what things should Archippus have been doing as a minister? If you were to ask the modern Christian, what do you believe your pastor should be doing? Many of them would say, well, do you know what? Let's have them organize community projects. Let's have them, you know, work at different things to bring the community together. Let's have them just run the church and run the oversight and the practical things of the church. Let's have them just be a counselor. And that's important, yes, but that's not the primary work that a minister is called to do. We find in the scriptures the job description of what a minister ought to be. First of all, in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in the verse number 2. Paul here is giving a charge to Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, Timothy. Timothy, you're going to be a minister. Timothy, you're going to be your God-ordained man into this ministry, and this is your primary duty. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The primary duty of every preacher is to preach. The primary duty of the ministry is to serve the congregation by preaching to them and giving them the word of God. But secondly, not just as they're preaching, but there is also praying. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostles here are speaking. In part, they are to us an example of what our ministry as ministers and elders ought to be. Notice what they say, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. We're to pray. A pastor's role and duty is to pray. And he is to be given time to pray. And if people ask him, well, what did you do today, pastor? And he says, well, I prayed today. They're not to say, well, you could have done that in 5 minutes and been doing something else. No. They're to give ourselves completely, fully to the ministry of prayer. But then as well, there is to be pastoring. There's to be preaching, praying, and pastoring. Notice what it says in 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples, or examples, to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The minister, the elders of the congregation are to be two things. They are to give oversight. They are to give leadership, direction to the congregation. Spiritual leadership, practical leadership. And them being the shepherd, being the oversight of the congregation, then implies that the people of the congregation are to follow their leadership. They're to go with their leadership. My friends, I know that can be difficult sometimes. Perhaps you will have an opinion that's different than the oversight in the church. Yet, unless it's unbiblical, you're to follow that. You're to go with their God-ordained oversight. And they're to be an example. They're not to command the people and say, well, this is what you must do, and then they don't do it themselves. No, they are to lead by example. They are to be examples to the congregation. Archippus, in many ways, had a very simple task. He had a very simple ministry. The ministry and its job description is very simple. You preach, you pray, you pastor. Now, it's difficult to do. Those things are difficult tasks to undertake and to perform. But my friend, our job description is very simple. This is what ministers and preachers of the gospel ought to be doing. They're not to be entangled with the affairs of this world. They're not to be entangled with things that can distract them and take them away from their primary purpose of preaching the word. In conclusion, as we think about Archippus here being exhorted, being prompted to fulfill his ministry, we see here in verse number 18, Paul just gives one final request. He says, this salutation by the hand of me, I have written this down. Notice what he says, remember my bonds. Now here Paul was also in the ministry. He was a man that was employed in the preaching of God's word, in praying for the work of God, and in pastoring the flock of God. And notice what he says, after having dealt with so many things in this book, after having stepped through so many problems and combated so many heresies and revealed so much of Christ, he just has one request for himself. Remember my bonds. Remember the situation that I am currently in. Remember the fact that I am in prison. And pray for me. Encourage me and remember me. Don't forget about me. My friend, if there was one request that every missionary, or perhaps even the minister of the congregation would give, I believe it would be this. Remember my bonds. Well, there's plenty of things that people in the congregation can do that help their minister, that are a great asset to the minister to help his ministry and to complete it and to fulfill it. But my friend, one of the things that is the greatest encouragement of all is when somebody remembers you. Is when somebody has remembered the ministry that you're undertaking and the work that you're doing, and they simply come up and say, "Do you know what? I've been praying for you. I haven't forgotten you," or they support you in some way. That is the greatest encouragement anybody can give to a minister as he's doing his work in the field. I'm remembering you. And my friend, let that be a lesson to all of us today. You want to encourage your minister. You want to help your minister fulfill his duty. You want to help him complete his ministry. Then remember his bonds. Remember the afflictions that the ministry will bring him under. Remember the burdens that the ministry will bring him under. And tell him that you remember him. Encourage him in the Lord. We need to pray for our ministers these days. God would give them great wisdom. God would help them to fulfill their ministries in these difficult times of not being able to meet together as the church of God, but having to do these online ministries and online messages. We need to pray that God will help them. And as they are thinking about you, let them know that you're thinking about them as well. Remember my bonds. And I pray that all of us would take heed to the ministry which we have received in the Lord, that we would fulfill it.